You manage to quit your job, become financially independent, you've got a little nice portfolio, and you're building a great brand in the property community. How long did it take you from a really committing to getting to the point where you could actually leave work?
I actually left my job before I sold any deal. Because in my IT job, I made about $2,000. So how the heck am I making $3,000 in one transaction?
You don't get paid for your time. You get paid for your value.
Obviously doing it now, it seems normal, but most people don't do this. To make money, it doesn't have to take long. I just had my first $10,000 profit month last month.
The best things in life are free, but may as well cost the earth if you don't have the time to enjoy them.
I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to make the plan work.
Ellie Henry from Henry Homes. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm good, Sam.
Thanks for coming down. I really appreciate your time. So you are now a full-time property investor entrepreneur.
I am indeed, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, thank you.
Tell me about what made you want to get into property in the first place, and then I want to go through your story, how you managed to quit your job, become financially independent, you've got a little nice portfolio, and you're building a great brand in the property community. So we're going to be learning a lot of nuggets. But firstly, what was it about property that got you interested in doing it in the first place?
First of all, I want to say thank you to my Lord Jesus Christ. It's why I'm here today. He's the main reason. Why mainly, I always thought kind of I'd be in business. So from a young age of about 14 to 16, my best subjects in school was business as well as French, the other language that I speak. And my goal and aspiration was either playing football or get into business. I bought my first property in 2017, about 5 years ago. And my parents pushed me to do that. So I kind of knew I wanted to do some kind of business, but it was only last year, after a few tries of ventures, like clothing, podcasting, where I came across property. And that's kind of the thing that stuck the most.
So you're kind of like a natural entrepreneur. How old are you?
27.
Do you think a lot of people have got like a natural entrepreneurial flair in them, but they're just sort of caged in their job and it never comes out?
Yeah, 100%. Even like going to school, I was the one selling foods and whatnot to make money. So I think probably as you grow, it kind of gets dumbed down.
It does. And even when you're a kid, if you're a kid and you say to your teacher, I want to be an astronaut, a football player, they'll tell you to be realistic.
Correct.
Get good exams, you know, then go to college or uni, get a job, settle down. So how did you end up working in a job as what we did, finance IT?
Yeah, finance IT. So actually, I went to uni before that, and I dropped out after about two years.
What were you studying?
I was studying economics. But for what I wanted to do in finance, I kind of realized, well, even if I'm not doing business, if I want to do this, this degree doesn't really make sense. Parents didn't agree with me, but I did it anyway.
Of course they didn't, because every parent wants their kid to go to uni.
Yeah, 100%.
So you went to uni to study economics with the view of getting into finance?
Yeah.
And what kind of finance did you want to be doing? Or were you one of those guys that just went to uni just because?
I was thinking maybe like to be an analyst of some sort. But funny enough, when I got into the finance world at entry level position, I kind of realized that to work my way up, I don't even need a degree to even do this. So I went from finance to IT because those were kind of my two kind of favorite subjects in school as well.
So at what point then, like I'm seeing a conflict because you're talking about IT and finance and like job, corporate, career, and then you're talking about selling sweets at school and hustling and being an entrepreneur. Yeah. So what happened?
So during that time, I kind of realized that I was going to be patient enough. It was around the age of 22, be patient enough in whatever job I was working to try other, you know, entrepreneurial ventures while I was working until I found the right one. I don't know why, but I kind of had the inkling from when I got that finance job when I was about 21 that I wouldn't work my way up because I saw people working their way up. And they just became so time poor and they became like slaves to their jobs.
So
I kind of just stayed at a steady position.
That's true, bro. You know what? You know the amount of people that, because the thing is, they go to uni, they get a job, and then the next thing is that you want a pay rise, you want a promotion. But every time you get a promotion, actually, you've now got more responsibility, more work, more weight on your shoulders. So you might have a bigger house, but you ain't got time to spend in that house because you're going to be at work. You might have a nicer car. What's that car going to do? Drive you back from work. So you tried a few things.
Definitely.
Fashion, this, that.
Yeah.
Why did you decide? What was it that made you go yes to property when you came across the property angle?
Property, because I knew for a while property is a safe asset. Bricks and mortar, you can see it.
Where did you buy your house that your parents told you?
South London, Croydon.
And Croydon? How did you afford to buy a house in Croydon?
So we kind of saved up, me and my partner. So we saved up for, I think, about 2 years to build that deposit for that apartment.
Right.
One bed apartment.
And you were just like living in it or renting it?
Living in it.
Do you live in it now?
No, not anymore, no.
Nah, game all changed up. Everything switched.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you come along to my crash course, I think it was.
Correct.
And then what happened?
So I came along. So even prior to that, I was watching your videos. It's funny, a few years ago, I came across one of your videos, Financial Freedom Challenge, and it kind of stuck out to me, but I never pursued further.
Mm.
But I came across it last year, summer, around June, July, and I thought, I can see the results. I can see what you're doing in other people's lives. And this is my opportunity to jump. I will continue trying until I find what works for me. So then I came to the £1 crash course in July 2022.
Nice, so last year now.
Yeah.
So your strategy has been, you've been doing rent-to-rent, serviced accommodation, you've been doing deal sourcing, you've been doing kind of a bit of everything. How long did it take you from really committing to getting to the point where you could actually leave work and become, you know, financially independent?
Well, that's a really interesting one because in a kind of an anomaly kind of situation, I actually left my job before I sold any deal. And going back to the point of my apartment, so I moved out of my apartment into a bigger place to use the apartment I was living in, get it refurbed, touched up as a service accommodation.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
When you saw how much money you make in service accommodation, you're gonna think, well, I've got to be resourceful. I already got a house.
Yeah.
And you turned that house into service accommodation.
Yeah, yeah. It was really like fearful kind of situation because you know, I'm sure a lot of people who are working right now, just going from paycheck to paycheck, you know, would be quite afraid to leave a job for any kind of reason. I didn't have any safety net. I didn't have any savings.
How did you afford to join the academy?
I didn't have the money, so use someone else's money. I basically got a loan. And I've been looking for people to let people know, yeah, I got a loan. It was borrowed money. But because of the results that I saw, and I really wanted to bet on myself, I thought, you know what? I've got nothing to lose, you know? I'm gonna take the risk, I'm gonna bet on myself, I'm gonna make the plan work.
Because I think people will invest money into like crypto and even property, which is a very safe investment, but then they won't invest in themselves. They'll be like, oh, I'll invest in this and this and this and hope it works out. They'll bet on property, they'll bet on crypto, they'll bet on lots of things, but they won't invest in or bet on themselves.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. Property is the second best investment, the best is yourself.
Especially when you think about going uni, where you're investing like tens of thousands.
Yeah.
So it's the same concept. So why, I don't know why people kind of see it much differently.
So you invested in yourself, you rolled into the academy, and then the very first thing that you did was you turned your, was it a flat?
Yeah, flat, correct.
Your flat into a serviced accommodation. So what was the, how did you do that?
So with your training, I basically renovated it, got a new paint job, fixed the oven, ran the numbers. It was still quite risky because I was still very fresh and I didn't really understand service accommodation.
Yeah.
But I kind of guessed it's in a good area, it has to work, really.
Yeah, and you got the support and you can bounce ideas around. And then did you manage it yourself or did you get a channel manager or?
So managing it myself, me and my partner were managing that. I'll never forget the day when the first booking came in after I think 12 hours. I was driving and a bit emotional, but I shed a tear or two because I genuinely realized that I'd been lied to for most of my adulthood up until that point, where you had to go from paycheck to paycheck. You can only be paid at the end of the month. But when seeing that money come in, which I think was about 1.5 grand for a 10-night booking, it opened my mind. And one of your famous sayings I really enjoy and like is, when you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was the... with the start.
Yeah. So you saw the first booking come in, you got a 10-day booking, 1.5 grand, and you're like, damn. Did you worry though? Did you think, am I gonna keep getting bookings?
I did worry a bit, but then also, you know, I was doing the deal sourcing at the same time.
Right.
And I thought, okay, I need to, got no job, got no safety net. It's on me and I have to make the plan work, so.
If I remember rightly, you actually stood up at an event and you were like, I just quit my job, and everyone clapped. I was like, amazing. How many deals have you got? And you were like, none. And I was like, oh, crap. But you just knew that it was going to work.
Yeah. And it's hard. I guess you just have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
No one can believe in you more than you can.
Right.
You have to be a bit crazy, but.
Yeah. So you deal sourcing then. Tell me about your first deal that you sold.
First deal sold after about 6-7 weeks. Very nerve-wracking. And I remember the first day I did sell that deal, when I saw the money in the bank again, that was kind of like a, I've just got 3 grand. This doesn't make sense. Yeah. How was this possible? Because in my IT job, being transparent, I made about 2 grand.
In a month.
In a month.
Yeah.
So how the heck am I making $3,000 in one transaction? It just...
It seems too good to be true, right?
It was crazy.
And also as well, the thing is that a lot of people don't get is that you don't get paid for your time. You get paid for your value.
100%.
And with the academy, you'd learned a valuable skill of finding deals, negotiating them. People haven't got... And another thing is, when you're in property, the numbers are so big. If someone's buying a house in London for 300,000, 400,000, and you've packaged it, and you've knocked it down by 10%, well, 10% is like $30,000. If they're having to pay you $3,000 to save $30,000, the numbers are so big, your piddly $3,000 seems like nothing, because when you're buying a house, you've got to pay stamp duty, solicitors, mortgage brokers, you've got all these fees, you're just an extra fee.
Yeah.
One extra small thing. But from your perspective, if you're doing that, like how many deals on average are you selling now, like a month, would you say?
About two.
So if you're selling a couple deals a month, which is on top of your rent to rents, everything you're doing, that's like $6,000-$7,000.
100%, yeah.
Which is a pretty good income.
They're very good. Obviously doing it now, it seems normal, but most people don't do this.
Yeah. What kind of deals are you selling, LA?
Mainly BRR deals.
Right.
So deals, properties that need work and where you can push the value up.
And is Henry Homes, is that just your deal selling or is that everything you do in property?
So Henry Homes is the service accommodation.
Okay.
And it is the deal sourcing.
Okay, so Henry Homes is just you. That's your property company and you're doing management, you're doing sourcing.
100%, yeah.
One-stop shop kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereabouts are you finding deals mostly?
So in terms of sourcing deals, my main two patches are Northeast in Hartlepool. It's kind of weird. I'm based in London. London's my other patch. But how I came across that and built a power team was literally, I think I watched one of your videos again, and I wanted to offer clients the high-end London property is expensive, Northeast, cheaper up there, buy low, rent high.
Yeah.
And I just called a few agents, and an agent put me in touch with a builder. I went up there to Hartlepool, met the builder. We've now got a relationship where I can trust him to quote the work and carry out the work and even do viewings for me. In fact, my first deal, I didn't see the property. He viewed it for me.
So you're doing remote deal sourcing?
Partly, yeah.
Which I know we were just chatting with Ross, and Ross was saying to me, dude, he's saying, I live in the Northeast and I'm deal sourcing in the Northeast. Henry Homes is selling more deals than me in my patch. And Henry Homes aren't even coming here. They've just got connections everywhere and they're sending builders and using this and this and this. So it's an interesting concept. Talk to me about remote deal selling.
So it takes a lot of due diligence because you need to understand your patch. You do need to go there. Like I go there at least twice a month.
Okay.
It takes also to having someone there that you can trust to show you the town, to understand what streets work, what streets don't work. Because when I'm quoting words from my builder, he's so knowledgeable about the town, he can tell me that street's bad. And you want to avoid that because when you're packaging and selling to an investor, you don't want at the end of the day, when everything's done and they have the property, they're struggling to rent it out because that's a bad street or they're going to get a bad tenant.
Because it's going to affect your reputation.
100%.
So you're doing high-end stuff in London, you're doing cheap buy low rent high type stuff in the Northeast, you're deal selling. Talk to me about your rent-to-rent business.
So rent-to-rent business, I've got one service accommodation I own in Croydon that's doing fantastic.
How much does that make on average?
Turnover 2.5, profit about 1.5.
About $1,500.
$1,500, yeah.
And then when you say, so you got about £1,000 mortgage, expenses, bills,
stuff like that.
That's not bad though.
I also have a JV Brighton deal, and that one is making between £900 to £1,000, three bed property in Brighton.
Is it crazy that you're just saying all these figures, and whereas you used to work your ass off for just $2,000?
It's really crazy, Samuel, because again, it's like, going back to what you said, when you see it, you can't unsee it. And also, we're normally even taught when it comes to business, oh, it takes time, which you do have to, you know, build up the skill, the courage and persistence. But to make money, it doesn't have to take long. Once you invest in yourself
100%.
And you invest in your skill, that skill will then bring you the income.
Mate, I read so many business books and they say things like, expect the first 2 years to make a loss, the third year and fourth year to break even, but 5 years, and I'm like, what kind of business are you running? You know what I mean? Like, we got guys like you that will come on, quit their job after 2 weeks, then within 2-3 months, making 3, 4, 5, 6. How much on average are you making now a month with everything profit, with all your different?
Everything profit around $7,000.
$7,000 a month?
Yeah, $7,000. I just had my first $10,000 profit month last month. Wow. So my next goal was to just make that a consistent 10 grand.
Congrats, mate. Why did you want to come on Winners on a Wednesday? Because I know you're quite, you know, your faith is really important to you. You're also big into inspiring and pulling people up and encouraging other people. What was it that made you agree to come and do this interview? Because obviously there's not really much in it for you.
I think the main thing, like you said, is other people. It's so crazy. It's like a full circle moment where last year, I was watching people on here, and I know you've done a lot of interviews, but I was watching people on here saying, I'm making this, I'm doing this. And just to be a product, again, of your amazing training and your amazing academy, and even the people who have heard about you, they say, oh, Ellie, are you on Samuel's? How's his training? You know, and I'm able to say, I've done it. I've invested myself, and it's working. And it was quite nerve-wracking, even for the first 3 months, because I didn't want to tell anyone, didn't tell my parents, no one else, only my partner knew, no one knew.
You didn't tell any friends?
No.
You didn't tell anyone that you'd just taken a loan out? Why did you not tell anyone?
Because they wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand, but when I've heard your story and even other entrepreneur stories where they bet on themselves, where even to invest in training, they've had to use money they didn't have, I was thinking, well, surely I'm no different. If I take the same route and I bet on myself, it's going to work. So when I did tell my parents after, I think, about 3 months, that, listen, by the way, I quit my job. I'm working for myself. They were quite surprised.
Of course. Dude, you're a dark horse, man. That's crazy. How's life changed then? How's life now? Has it affected your relationship with your wife and stuff?
I have my own time. Another thing that you say is the most expensive things in life are free?
The best things in life are free, but may as well cost the earth if you don't have the time to enjoy them.
Time. Time to say, I can be at this appointment in the afternoon, or I can make time for family at this time, I can move things around. And being able to give back to people, to help other people get deals, understand how deals work. It's just been an amazing, amazing experience, honestly.
What would you say your strongest reason is for doing this?
My strongest reason for doing this, I would say, is just being an inspiration.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that I'm the savior or anyone, but to go through hard and tough things so the people around me don't need to go through them and can maybe even learn from my mistakes. Because even joining an academy, I don't believe I just invested in training, but I invested, even though some things take time, the time of my success was drastically reduced because you mentored me, because I had so many peers doing it. So I saved myself time. Yeah. So I want to be that inspiration and even kind of a gateway.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I'm so proud of your success. Happy to see you growing. I know this is just the beginning for you.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing where Henry Holmes goes over the next few years. And I really appreciate you coming on the Winners on a Wednesday interview.
Thank you, Samuel.
Respect, brother.
Take care.